your source for all things Texas Tech. This is the Ask Level Podcast from Double T 97.3.
Hey, what's going on? Welcome into another episode of the Ask Level Podcast. Alongside Chris Level, I'm Choice Woodman. This podcast, like all of ours, brought to you by our friends at Cantex Roofing and Construction.
I'm Mike Hebert, owner of Cantex Roofing and Construction. Every day is game day, and we'll get it right when it comes to your roofing, construction, windows, and mirrors. Call Cantex Roofing and Construction today. Together, we are one serving you.
Level, how are we doing today?
What's up? We're doing good. Last time I saw you, you asked me the same question, and I think I told you swell. So you know what? I'll go with that again.
That's true. I'm getting a little like extra level this week. I had a little radio bout with you on Friday of last week. So
about?
Yeah, that made it sound like we were fighting. That's not right.
No, it was very cordial, actually.
Radio kumbaya shindig.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
Something along those
lines. We're just time.
Yeah. Got to hang out together.
Yeah.
So, a busy week, as we talked about last week, going into it, the NFL draft. You just wrapped up spring football. Got a lot going on in the sports world in general. But a couple of Red Raiders get drafted. A whole lot of guys signed, as you see at this time of year. A lot of guys getting some opportunities to go to camp or trying to get those camp invites, that sort of thing. Any surprises from the draft outside of maybe the night one Penix going in the top 10? What caught your eye in the draft?
Well, I guess, you know, if you're going back to like the round one, just what was it, 14 straight offensive players?
Yeah.
I don't know if I've ever seen that.
That's crazy.
Yeah, six quarterbacks in the first round, which odds would suggest to you that one or two of those guys end up working out. You know, the rest of them are busts. Unless it's like the 83 you know, draft, which
been that, a long that, time,
but it's, you know, it was the 83 draft for a reason, because there's no other draft that's like that from a quarterback standpoint. But yeah, I mean, it just Pat Mahomes got himself some speed. I don't know if that pick makes a ton of sense for a lot of teams, like trading up to go get Xavier Worthy, but we saw him, unfortunately, firsthand several times, and he certainly got some juice and some playmaking ability. And now you give Pat a Xavier and a Hollywood, and you turn him loose. So anyway,
yeah, not too shabby for Mahomes. We'll get into a few different topics. We'll get into the latest in the transfer portal for basketball. We've got a few football questions, some random questions on the Twitter as well. Let's start off with football. It's something we kind of alluded to at the end of last week's episode, but didn't really get a chance to get into. And Coach McGuire talked about this at the end of the spring game, or after the spring game, the rule changes in college football. There's definitely some very interesting ones, starting with the 2-minute warning. That's something we haven't had in college football. I haven't seen much backlash to this or dissent against it from most of the general public. What are your feelings towards the 2-minute warning in college football?
Yeah, I think the 2-minute warning, this is just kind of like, I think most people are kind of so used to it with the NFL that, and I think coaches are like looking at it as like, man, I can be actually a little looser with my timeout management because I've got a built-in one. I think it could lead to, and I don't want to overstate this, but I think it could lead to some teams struggling a bit more to milk a lead.
Yeah.
You know, and then allowing for, you know, a comeback or end of first half scenarios when, you know, and all those things. But, and what I mean by that about on the first part of that is like looser with your timeout management. sometimes coaches want to stack them up for the end of halves or whatever, just to, you know, whatever. And you don't want a 5-yard penalty on a delay game, or you don't have the right personnel group and you're just like so frustrated. Well, you've got a built in one there now. Yeah. And so if you do have to burn one earlier in the half, it's not the end of the world. So I still think you obviously want to manage your situation well and all those things, but you know you're going to get some help with the clock. And then I think this is just at the end of the game, but maybe it is first half too. I don't know. We're going to have to look this up, because in college, the rules will change under 2 minutes, but I think this is just the end of the game. I think, but I need to, like, on the clock stopping on first downs.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so I think that's just end of game, but we need to check that Woodman, my rules expert, and find out if that is the end of the first half and second half on the rules changes there. I know for a fact that it is at the end of the game.
Right.
And what we mean by that is that, you know, used to first down clock stops, and they tried to shorten the game a bit and say, hey, we're just going to keep this thing rolling. However, the 2-minute warning is also like a signal to the referees, hey, the rule, okay, now we're operating under a different set of rules. So it may in fact be a first and second half.
Yeah. I think the thing about the 2-minute warning is the purpose of it is for more TV commercial time. I mean, if everybody's being honest, that's what the idea is. It gives them another break, but
they're not going to use it as such.
Yeah. Which I don't understand.
Okay. So let me explain.
Yeah. Help me out with that.
So the way you produce a TV broadcast from a game.
Yeah.
Depending on the scores of the game and all that stuff, there are times when a producer, it's the giant orange glove guy, okay,
right.
That they're talking down to there, and they'll squeeze in breaks, like you score a touchdown, you kick the extra point, commercial, we kick it off, commercial, mm-hmm. and you're just out there huddling, and the orange glove guy's out there with his hand out or whatever. And they're holding that little display digital clock for, it seems like, for forever.
Yeah.
And we're up on the radio going, can they just move it on, please? Mm-hmm. Well, they're fearful of missing those windows. Okay. But see, now they don't have to squeeze those in and force them for fear of not getting them in. Now they know ahead of time. It's the way I saw it phrased best was it widens the runway. Because now they
Makes
know
sense.
We don't have to squeeze a break in or extra breaks in at this time. We've got the 2-minute warning coming up. So it's really, you could view it as an extra timeout, but actually it's actually better time management. It actually may be the same amount of TV timeouts, just allocated or placed differently.
That makes sense. Yeah. I guess that's
it's subtle. It's subtle, but it's it's certainly something that I think if you understand, and you knew what I mean when I explained that, but because, you know, and people may not understand that there's a guy that walks out. That's what, when we're doing a radio broadcast, that's what Choice looks at. He's looking down on the field and to find out, are we going to is this a media timeout? Is this just 30 seconds? What are we doing? And there's a guy that walks out there that's got like an orange glove, sometimes it's neon glove, or he's wearing all red.
Yep.
And he walks out 5 to 10 yards onto the field, and it's like, okay, and the head official is looking for this person too.
Yep.
Because somebody is in that guy's ear saying, okay, we're gonna go to break. He walks out and it's like, hey, we're stopping right now, so Choice can pitch the radio broadcast to break and tell Brian Jensen, okay, hey, TV timeout here. And all that stuff. So anyway, just to say you have a behind the scenes work.
Yeah. And you know, a lot of people know who this guy is now because they have the digital clock. And
which that's a separate person holding up that clock.
Yeah. But I love the clock now, because at least you know exactly how long you got instead of going by a 30-second hand signal. So I like the 2-minute warning. I think it's a good addition to college football because the strategy part of it. I think that's a really good thing where we get to see coaches utilize and strategize a little more towards the end of a half or end of a game. So
and
the
I
other,
think our, I think our guy's name, the guy that does the handles all that down there, is David Booth.
Yeah, it is.
I think it's, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
So the other rule change is a big one. In college football, you will now have helmet communication. We saw this tinkered with in the bowl games, including the one Texas Tech played in, the Independence Bowl win over Cal. In the bowl game, you had three different players on each team that were able to have the communication at any given time. However, the college football rule that just came out goes to the green sticker type of rule like we have in the NFL, where only one guy can have communication at a time. Correct me if I'm getting any of this wrong, but Coach McGuire was a little frustrated with that, seemingly frustrated when he spoke to the media last weekend because you're not the NFL, you're college football, and there's a lot more substitutions.
You were like, he was seemingly frustrated. No, he was he didn't hold back. Yeah, he did not hold back. Yeah. The argument, the counter argument, Joey's on one side of this. I think the folks that were ultimately decided the way that they would do it were on, they may have been more on Joey's side than they let on, but anyway, this is what was passed, is that it's basically same as on the NFL. And I think that Joey's point is, we're not the NFL. Yeah. We had a chance to do it the way we wanted to do it. It worked during the bowl game and all those things. And so what are we doing? Because what have we really fixed here? And I think the folks that passed it go, we just didn't want to go past what the NFL is doing. Let's dip our toe in and then kind of see how this goes.
Yeah.
The difference is that, yeah, the way that, you know, NFL, they huddle and you're running 55 plays a game on offense. In college, you're running 75 to 95 plays on offense and your various personnel groups and all kinds of things. And you're still going to have to signal.
Yeah.
You know, and even though they're all going to tell you, and they wrote, there was a lot of writing here going, hey, this has nothing to do with the Connor Stallion stuff at University of Michigan and the sign stealing thing. I don't buy that. Not that this was solely the reason why, but I don't buy that at all. So, I think only one individual having this is interesting compared to how they did it in the bowl game. Does it cause teams to actually try to go faster, or like Zach Kittley to try to say, hey man, let's slow or intentionally go slow. You know, like let's hurry up and show them something with 15 seconds left on the play clock and then not snap it. And then let's change everything we're doing as it drips down after communication cuts off. I mean, yeah. I don't know what all you get into here, but it you're still going to have to signal, because if Jacob Rodriguez on defense is whatever he's OK, what are they telling me? Then he's got to, you know, tell his guys, and so that comes down to signals. So I don't think you've rid yourself of the big boards and the, you know, all this mess. So it will probably make things a bit more efficient. But and then Joey was frustrated because it's like, okay, if Jacob Rodriguez and his backup is Bryce Ramirez,
yeah,
one of them can have a green dot. Well, there's going to be a package or three, exactly, where they're both on the field at the same time. And so do we have to have extra helmets, or what are we doing there? You know,
yeah,
he's
saying that you're going to have an equipment guy out there carrying mm-hmm. two helmets for Bryce Ramirez around and knowing which one to do it.
I'd be willing to bet you somewhere in that playbook on offense, again, maybe more than, you know, a few pages.
Yeah.
There's something in there where like Baron Morton and Cam Brown are on the field at the same time.
I mean, we've seen that plenty of times. Yep.
And so, you know, you get into that as well. So
that's a rough part of it. There will definitely be some kinks worked out, hopefully, in year one, where they have to, you know, kind of go trial and error type of situation. But helmet communication will be a factor. We'll see how much people like it and do not like it in year one. Lots of questions in, kind of random scatter shooting for questions levels. So let's go ahead and get into a few of those. Here's one. We're talking about football. Here's one for football. It says, level of Baron Morton was lost early in the season. Is Cam Brown the long-term guy, or would they give Will Hammond a chance?
Yeah, I think you're right on where you're leaning on your let's assume that they don't bring anybody else in that plays this position in the okay. part of the spring or summer, and I'm not going to rule that out.
Okay.
It's just not going to shock me. Am I as worried about Baron as I was 3 weeks ago or so? I know, but I could be a lot more worried, you know, come June or July, you know. But I mean, I guess I've heard enough to where let's just see kind of where this goes. And I think you're going to be okay. But I have no way of knowing that either. But I think that you'll know their internal feeling based on if they bring anybody in or not, on how they are feeling about his shoulder and all those things. I do think Will Hammond is the long-term answer here. Mm-hmm. However, I would envision a scenario to where if Baron was lost for a longer period of time in like games or remainder of season or whatever, heaven forbid, that it would be you'd see multiple QBs playing.
Okay.
You know, I just don't think you're going to get away from what Cam Brown gives you. You know, right. and he would in fact probably be the starter, but I would envision them, whether it's Will Hammond or Jake Strong. And I just think Will Hammond's got a bright, bright future. I do. I'm not going to back off of that at all. I think that, and he also gives you, now granted, Jake Strong had one of the longest runs of the season last year for Texas Tech. But Will Hammond's legs are a bit, that's a bit different. Go look it up, what he did at in high school. And he is a threat to run it. And he's actually faster than Cam Brown, straight line speed. But Cam Brown's got a little bit more twitch and running back and like kind of run you over type stuff. So let's hope that we're not talking about it. But it's a very valid question, because these are the questions we would deal with on a weekly basis last year.
Yeah,
you know, what do you do? What's the future? What's the here and now? What's the a month from now? What do you do next season? And so you have to run through these hypotheticals. But that's my take, is that Cam Brown would be starter, but I'd be willing to bet you Will Hammond would play some, because I just think he's ahead right now of Jake.
Yeah. Next question from the email as well. This one's from Jason. Says, level, who's going to be the best pass rusher on this year's football team?
You know, these are phenomenal questions, because the last one you probably was like, hey, is the audio something messed up with this audio? No, I just had this long pause. and that gets the old wheels to spinning. That's the listeners of said show, or the folks on the socials, are these are really good. I would say to you that I'm going to assume health here. I'm going to assume that these pieces are all healthy.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Which is a bit tricky, because I think that two of the three that I'm going to mention to you have dealt with some issue, like injury-related issue, whether it be spring or last fall or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to say to you that it'll be one of three, and then I'll give you an answer, so I'm not going to cop out. But I think Amir Washington is a fun option, that one that I would have not suggested to you prior to bowl game. But yeah. I think he's done some things with you know, the spring, and he's kind of built off of it and starting to be a bit more consistent. I'm not ready to say, dude, look out. I mean, he's, you know, I'm not ready to go there yet. So we need to see this game to game and all those things.
Right.
I think one of your highest recruited players on your roster right now is Dylan Spencer.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's got a chance to make some noise. Now, he's dealt with some health-related issues, like just injury stuff that they kind of held him out a few weeks here and there of spring practice. But if you've ever seen Dylan up close, he looks like what he was previously committed to University of Texas. Well, that's it's like, oh, that makes sense when I see him. You know, it's like he's different looking than everybody else on the measurables, long arms, all those things. Speaking of,
like Tyree Wilson.
Oh, yeah, a little bit, yeah. And then you see why A&M, like why Tyree Wilson was going to A&M. It's like, yeah, I mean, because there's just some of these, you know, schools like the OUs, the LSUs, the Oklahomas, the Texas, their guys typically generally look different than yours. Yeah. You may have a handful that look like, you know, they're supposed to, but some of these you're just like, oh, and I'm always down there on the field. Like one of the most impressive times I've ever, the eye test was Ole Miss a couple of years ago when we were playing them in NRG, and like DK Metcalf and like AJ Brown are like their starting receivers, and DK Metcalf looked like he could bench press the sideline. I'm like, this dude's a wideout. Yeah. But they were everywhere. They had defensive ends. You know, LSU did that with me a couple years ago whenever that was a Pat DeAndre Washington Houston Bowl, same stadium.
Yep.
But I kind of had these you know, SEC, like, you know, PTSD, like, it was like, God dang, man, this is like a different deal here. Like, where do they find these dudes?
Yeah.
Dylan Spencer is in that category. But if he's healthy, I'm going to go with my boy, man. I'm just not shying away from it. Do you know where I'm going with this?
Isaac Smith?
Yeah, I am.
Yeah, that's who I would have said too. That's my that would be my prediction.
And the wild cards here, I think that one, I like Duda Banks, but I don't know if he will actually. He'll be in the mix at some level, but he's more of an interior guy. The other guy that is just kind of a non-sexy pick here, because he's just kind of pretty steady. Show you something here and there, but it's just, you know, but he's just kind of steady. It's Charles Esters.
Yeah.
Yeah. He had one in the red and black game. He got to Cam Brown actually, and they blew it dead. It would have been a sack, I think. But anyway, that's a good, that's a great question.
Well, I think the fact that you've got quite a few to pick from level is probably a good thing for this team. That we heard Coach McGuire talk about the depth of your pass rushing last year, and it didn't necessarily pan out like you had hoped.
I think you actually could be deeper this year.
And that's kind of what I was thinking. You've got quite a few guys that could be in the mix for this conversation of who's your best pass rusher and what do we know about the pass rush. Is if one guy is very dominant, it helps the other guys out so much. It opens up other rush lanes because you're having a double team, whoever that may be, an Isaac Smith or a Dylan Spencer, and that would be that really helps your entire pass rush out when you've got one guy or a couple of guys that are extremely dominant.
And there's probably some folks, you know, that you know, because there's always like the Marcus Ramon Edwards or you know, like Miguel Dingle.
Yeah,
you know, like they could utilize in some of the. There's just the good news is you have some depth, you have some speed, you have some athleticism, you just have a lot of youth and experience. But you've got some. I mean, your recruiting that you've done is starting to work its way in here, and that's fun because you recruited really well. And so it could be your pass rush could be much better than last year. It's just that you don't have one guy with 12 or 14 sacks. You've got six or seven guys that have 30 plus sacks total. You know, if you start adding them up and they each all have four or five apiece or something like that, you get what I'm saying? So
sure. All right. Flipping over to a couple of more random questions from Twitter. This one's from Trisha. Says, can you explain the difference between the Red Raider Club and the Matador Club? How should we decide who to donate to?
Yeah, and this is the argument with a lot of this. You know, there's a lot of chatter out there about this stressing out donors or donors being pressed, like, you know, having to fund the, you know, flip the bill for whatever.
Yeah,
it is out there because it's like, if I donate to the Matador Club, well, where's my parking pass for the games that I like to go to? And then like my nice seat in the club level so I can, you know, enjoy my experience. Oh, we don't, that has nothing to do with this. Oh, so right. I still have to, you know, and so
sure.
That's why there's a lot of argument and push to bring everything internal. to bring every and it will it's going to get brought internal at everywhere. I think they're kind of passing rules really as you and I sit here and talk just on these days right now to where it's all under one umbrella. And this is kind of the main argument. You know, you want to be able to donate to Texas Tech Athletics and you want it to help, you know, whatever. And it's like, but now I'm having to pick and choose, and the school doesn't want you to have to, the Matador Club doesn't want you to have to, but it wasn't within the rules to where you could,
sure,
you know. And so the Matador Club is strictly the NIL collective. This is what is funding the NIL and all that with players being compensated and all those things through community service, through social media, through all the things that the Matador Club. And there's a variety of high, top-notch Tech people, Cody Campbell, Tim Kolk, Mark McDougal. There's all kinds of people involved with that are like regent-type people. All
right.
And then that's separate. And the Red Redder Club is in-house. That's what funds the scholarships for these for these student athletes. And that's what you have to donate to that to get a parking pass or club seats or – You know, it's like built-in donations to have a parking pass on the west side of the, you know. So anyway, they're separate, sure. But at some point, fairly soon, I think they'll be kind of merged, and you know, maybe keep the same names, but you're really, you know, under one umbrella.
Yeah. So hopefully that helped you, Trisha, on who, if you're choosing one or the other. But I'm with you, Level. I do think it is just a matter of time, not very much time, and we'll see everything go into, you know, go into one pot, so to speak, for schools to take care of it all. Kelly asks, what current or past Under Armour Texas Tech football uniform combo or style do you expect to be the closest to our upcoming Adidas uniforms?
Well, you've had about every style with Under Armour over the last
17 years.
Yeah, who knows? I think you're going to get like it'll be similar in that you're going to get a white uniform, a black uniform, and a red uniform, and then you're going to be able to mix and match whatever. I think that what Adidas is going to tell you that Texas Tech wanted is that they wanted clean, traditional, nothing super gimmicky. So is it the modern day version? Is this the throwback version or blend in between? I think it's probably a blend in between.
Yeah.
Because I think that's my favorite thing about a lot of those throwbacks that Under Armour or Texas Tech had Under Armour do. Because it's always like people think like Under Armour came up with these kinds. No, this was Zane Perry. This is Zane and Kamen and Zane going to Joey going, do you like this? Or Matt Wells or whoever going, hey, this is what I'm thinking about. I got this picture from like 1982.
Yeah.
This is kind of what it looked like. What are your thoughts? And so that's kind of, you know, this was always Texas Tech dictating that to Under Armour and all that. And so, but I think that's what everybody loved about those is they're clean. There's not a lot of, you know, distraction on the uniform. You know, it's hard. It's a throwback. It's
simplicity.
Yes. But yet it looks the best.
Sure.
And so, but I will tell you too. I don't think you'll see red helmets anymore.
Okay.
I think that may have been retired. So we shall see. And then I do think there's gonna be. Speaking of the right word is not gimmicky, but I do think Pat will have an influence on one uniform, whether you wear it just once or wear it multiple times, but I think Pat Mahomes will have some influence on something. Yes. Immediately.
Yeah. So
Yeah.
So do you think we'll start seeing the Mahomes logo kind of mixed in?
I don't know.
Not necessarily on the uniforms, but just,
I've been told that you will get a Mahomes, and so much of this could change between now and then. Also, so much of this has to be done well ahead of time.
Yeah.
Because it just, that's the way it works. But I think you'll get like one Mahomes, like uniform that he had heavily influence on, almost like designed it.
Yeah.
And that'll have his logo on the rest of it just in year one, just maybe just like regular Adidas stuff. But I don't hold me to that. I'm not real sure.
Oh, sure, sure.
But I think going forward, I think that, yeah, you could have his like logo or brand on pretty much everything.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I don't know. I'm assuming a lot of that's been determined, but that, you know, and part of me says, well, why wouldn't you just have his logo on every uniform this year? But I do think there's just some normal Adidas stuff this year too. So anyway, it's kind of, yeah, we all wait to see.
Yeah. A lot of anticipation for it. As we're about 2 months away from that switchover happening between the Under Armour contract and Adidas. So one quick one level before we get out of here says, is there any updates, any predictions on who Tech could land next in the transfer portal for basketball? That one is from Mark.
Yeah, Mark, you need a big and you need a guard. And then you need some players that, I don't want to say fill out the roster, but that you can kind of, you know, maybe bring in that are potential rotational guys or potential depth guys or developmental guys or whatever. You're not going to be able to fill out the remainder of your spots with like five more all conference type guys, I guess is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
But the biggest need is a point guard. And you've got, as you and I sit here and talk, Choice, Elijah Hawkins, the point guard from Minnesota. Here's a thumbs up and a thumbs down for him. One, he was supposed to come back to Minnesota and agreed to a deal and everything. And I think, you know, it's like, you know what? I might be worth a lot more out there on the open market. And so that's what he did. He entered the portal.
Yeah.
Like about a week ago, based on what you and I are sitting here talking. And he averages like about 6 to 7 assists a game. You think he's second in the country. He is a huge, I mean, big time facilitator, pure point, you know, looks to pass it rather than score it. Can score it, averages about 9 points a game, give or take, but just runs a team, you know, starter in the Big Ten Conference, all these things. My thumbs down is that he's 5'11". That's what concerns me. Is that I think you know, and again, you can't, it's like, you know, we don't get to go in the lab and just like draw them up or clone them or whatever. That's just my, as I look at it, I go, huh, okay, well, this looks pretty good, but okay, well, that, you know, so you know, but I mean, he may come in here and again, if you're just a smaller guard in this league, you're gonna have to play bigger. That makes sense, like Joe Toussaint did. You know, you got to be tougher and bigger and all that. But again, I'm not trying to judge him. I'm just saying, well, that's one of the first things I looked at because I knew Grant wanted to get longer and taller, but he's listed at 5'11". So, but I would take him. Don't get me wrong. Don't get twisted. I would take him right now. If you could get him, you'll be thrilled to add him. That spot would be fixed. You would have your facilitator and all those things.
And someone that Tech is in the mix with, and depending on when you watch this, he may have gone, is the great Obasor. Did I say his name correct? Out of Utah State.
Yeah, great Obasor of Utah State. Andrew Carr. You know, some of these decisions are going to get made. So depending on when you're listening to this, but he was just here. Andrew Carr was. I think that you're kind of worried about Kentucky. And then I think Villanova is potentially in the mix there. He's originally from Pennsylvania, but yeah, great Obasor, I think, is set a visit for this like next weekend, maybe. And so, but yeah, that one of those guys checks the box on you needing one more big, that can play the four or the five or whatever. And I think that those are two really good candidates. Trezarian White is another player from UNC Wilmington that can score.
Yeah.
You've got Javon Buchanan, I think, who's he played at like an NAI school that is in the mix for like kind of you know, to fill one of these spots. And so, but to me, Elijah Hawkins is like the number one concern, whatever, or somebody like him. You've got to fill that void. Have to.
Yeah, completely agree.
You know, and you just don't really have that on your team right now until somebody says, okay, I'm in. And then at that point, that player maybe becomes the most valuable to your team.
Yeah, hard to argue. Definitely hard to argue. Level, good stuff as always. Appreciate you, and we'll do this again next week.
Woodman, love you. We'll you know, good to have fun at the Derby this weekend. That's you'll enjoy. It's a scene, man. It's a scene.
We're excited.
Mint juleps for everybody. We'll talk to everybody next time. Thank you to Cantex Roofing. Appreciate them being a part of this podcast as well. We'll talk to you again soon.
That's Chris Lovell. I'm Choice Woodman. It's been the Ask Lovell Podcast, brought to you by Double T 97.3.
You've been listening to the Ask Lovell Podcast, powered by Double T 97.3.